In this Bible, on page 603, and in the Youth Bible, on page 448, Psalm 98. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord at the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. The rivers clap their hands, let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks very much to Fiona and Kirsty there for your prayers and reading. And I'm just going to begin with a prayer as we come before God's word now. Father, thank you for this psalm that speaks of great joy. Help us to see how it points to what you have done in rescuing your people. Help us to rejoice in you this morning. Amen. But what has made you joyful this week? What has made you joyful? Maybe it was a Christmas present like this one here. Now, I don't know if you can see what it is, but it is a hot water bottle with a special little pouch at the front where you can put your feet in. Now, this has brought great joy to Kat this week, enabling her to keep her feet warm. But yet, as great as they are, even the best Christmas present can only bring joy to a few people. We can't all put our feet in this hot water bottle, can we? There's not room. Maybe two or three at max. Okay. We probably find it easy to think of joy on a small scale. But this morning, we're going to think about joy on the biggest possible scale. This is a joy that everyone and everything can join in. So, Joy to the World is the final carol in a series that we've been going through over Christmas. We've called it Sing for Joy, Christmas Carols and the Truths They Teach. Now, can anyone remember the other carols that we have been focusing on in previous services? Can anyone remember one of the other four that we have been going through? Anyone want to have a suggestion? Or I can see right at the back. Can you give me a big voice? Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Fantastic. We had that, didn't we, on for our nativity service a couple of weeks ago. So that's one. Anyone remember any of the other three? Yes, Liz. Oh, Come All Ye Faithful. Fantastic. We had that, didn't we, on Christmas Day. So there's two more. One clue. We may possibly have sung one already this morning. Can anyone remember? I think Joanna's got some good actions there. What she? Can anyone see what she's doing? Yeah, Fletcher, have you got it there? Excellent. Silent night. And there was one more we had a week ago today. Daniel, have you got your hand up there? Excellent. O come, O come, Emmanuel. So we've looked at five carols over these past few services. And today we're on the final one, Joy to the World. We've been seeing how these carols highlight truths about God and what he has done, truths that come straight from the Bible. So this morning we're looking at Joy to the World, and actually we're going to have a bit of a sandwich. We're going to think about the carol and how it, what it teaches us from the Bible, and then we're going to sing the carol, and we're going to reflect on it a bit further. So kind of a sandwich we're going to go for this morning. And as we do that, I've got a little phrase to help us consider the message of that psalm and the carol. Here it is. Hopefully it'll come up on the screen. Can you see it there? Rejoice because Jesus has come to save. Can you join with me in saying that? Rejoice because Jesus has come to save. That's the reason we are to rejoice. You see, this Psalm 98 was written hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus. So the marvelous things that we were hearing about in the beginning of that psalm, the salvation that God had worked out, well, that could well refer to his leading his people out of Egypt in the Exodus, or it could be about the return of his people from exile in Babylon. But Psalm 98 also points us forward to God's ultimate salvation, which he's carried out in Jesus. The coming of God's King, Jesus, connects our psalm with that amazing carol that we're going to sing, Joy to the World. The Lord has come. And there are two truths we're going to be focusing on from the carol and from the psalm. And they're these: celebrate God's salvation and receive God's savior. So first up, celebrate God's salvation. You see, God has done amazing things. Did you see that in the first verse? How is it described? Marvelous. What does that word marvelous mean? Well, it means awesome or amazing. Things that we marvel at, things that make our eyes pop out. God has done amazing things. He's created the world. He's made mankind in his image. We read that in Genesis. And it says also that God has worked salvation. It's the most amazing thing he's done. Well, how does God have a right hand and a holy arm? Did you see that in verse 1? How does God have that? He doesn't have a body like you or I. God the Father doesn't have a body like you or I. But this is picture language. So have you seen an emoji like that? Maybe you put that in your WhatsApp messages to other people. It's a bit like that. It talks about the strength that God has. Okay, he's done this himself. He's put all of his strength into it. That's how God has a right hand and a holy arm. Excuse me. So that's how God has put all his strength into it. That's what the psalm is saying. Well, how has God done that? Remember the first line of our carol? We're going to sing it in a bit. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. God has ultimately worked salvation by sending Jesus. That's how he's shown his strong hand and his holy arm, by sending Jesus. He is the Lord who has come. As we saw last Sunday in Matthew chapter 1, Jesus is God with us because we need God with us. The Lord has come. And God has made his salvation known. Did you see that, verses 2 and 3? How is it that we can celebrate God's salvation? Well, verse 2, the Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He's remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. We can celebrate God's salvation because he's made it known. We can't be joyful about something we don't know of, but God has made his salvation known by sending Jesus. He's made it known in Jesus. God shows his righteousness, all his goodness, everything that's perfect about him in Jesus. Through Jesus, we can be put right with God. We can receive God's righteousness through Jesus. We do that by repenting. That's turning from going our way and turning back to God's way, doing a complete turnaround. And by believing in Jesus, his death and his resurrection. That is how God makes his righteousness known in Jesus, that we can receive it. And did you see too, that he's made it known to all nations, to the very ends of the earth? All people can know God's salvation, not just a handful who were there, who saw Jesus when he was born. All people can celebrate God's salvation. This amazing news of Christmas, that God came to earth as a man, has spread across the world these past 2,000 years. You see, to the first hearers of Psalm 98 in the Middle East, Sawston would have seemed like the ends of the earth. But the message has reached us. It's reached us. It's reached all the nations. It's reached the ends of the earth. Now have a look at the screen behind them. Two pictures. In which of those images do you reckon you see more joy? Any suggestions? Which image conveys more joy, do you think? Yes, Jasmine. The right picture, of course. And why is it that that shows more joy, do you think? Exactly. She's getting to open her present, isn't she? She's really excited. You see, we're not joyful about wrapped Christmas presents. We might have a guess what's inside them, but what's inside needs to be made known for that joy to happen. We celebrate God's salvation because he's made it known in and through Jesus. That's what it means to celebrate God's salvation. We're not left guessing with the wrapping still on the present. Our carol doesn't speak of vague joy and kind of warm feelings. It celebrates what God has done. That's what it means to have joy to the world. So we're now going to sing that carol, and we're going to think about that amazing message, joy to the world. And as we do so, see if you can spot some of the many ways the writer of the carol picks up the words of Psalm 98. So we're going to sing our carol, Joy to the World. What a great carol, isn't it? The way that kind of, the tune just carries the joy as we sing it. Well, can anyone remember that little phrase that we mentioned at the beginning? We're going to go through it again, hopefully back on the screen. So can you say with me, rejoice because Jesus has come to save. Rejoice because Jesus has come to save. So we talked about celebrating God's salvation. And secondly, the message is receive God's Saviour. You see, Psalm 98 and this carol, Joy to the World, which is so clearly based on it, they're full of joy. It's an awesome carol to sing. All nations, and indeed all of creation, the seas, the rivers, the mountains, are called to celebrate God's salvation. But they do this by receiving God's Saviour. Can anyone spot
the phrase that is repeated in both verses 6 and verse 9. A little phrase, three words that are repeated in verses 6 and 9. Can anyone spot that? Verses 6 and 9. Three little words that get repeated. Any ideas? Yes, Sue. Before the Lord, exactly. That phrase is really helpful for us because all this celebration is to happen before the Lord, in front of God, literally before his face. That's what it says. So the picture is of all people and all creation lining up before God. You see, they're not just celebrating God's salvation in a distant way, you know, somewhere over there. They're receiving him as their savior. As line 2 of that carol states, let earth receive her king. They're receiving God's savior. And crucially, all people should receive God's savior. It's all the earth in verse 4, not just some, but all the earth. And do you see in that same verse? They're bursting with song. It's not like a little hum under the breath. They're bursting with song because it's such good news to receive God's Savior. Their harps, their trumpets, their horns, their singing. Not just kind of polite applause at a minor royal passing by on the street. Now, this is celebration in the biggest possible way. Think of all those instruments playing together. Giving our all to God because he sent his Savior, his King, Jesus. That's what it means to receive him. And in that carol we saw, didn't we? Every heart must prepare him room. It's a command for all people to receive Jesus, not just some, for all people to receive him. And did you see, as we went on in verses 7 and 8, the picture gets even bigger. This joy is just unbelievably big. It says in verses 7 and 8, let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. So all creation should receive God's Savior. Everything in the sea and all who live in the world, well, that covers the whole of creation. Now, has anybody seen a river with hands or a mountain sing? You haven't, have you? None of us have. But yet, that's how it's described. You know, maybe waves, possibly, yeah. But it's picture language explaining this amazing celebration. It's so powerful. It's so joyful that creation can't stop joining in. We're to be like this ourselves, so that as we grasp the news, we're so full of joy. Or if we grasp how awesome God's salvation is, how can we not receive his Savior Jesus? How can we not line up before the Lord and receive his King? Now imagine if King Charles III was to visit your school. It'd be quite unusual, wouldn't it? But imagine if he was. It'd be a pretty amazing occasion. The news has gone out to all the parents. Everyone is super excited. But what if, when he arrived, you just continued in your classes, in your lessons, you know, just learning your maths and your science. And then the king was left to walk through the school on his own. Well, that'd be mad, wouldn't it? Of course that wouldn't happen. Everybody would be lining up to receive the king as he came to your school. That would make no sense not to. Well, Psalm 98 points to a far greater king's arrival, that of King Jesus.
It's not enough just to celebrate God's salvation. We're called to receive God's Savior, to sing and shout for joy to him. We're to shout for joy before him, lining up to welcome him into our lives. One final time for our little phrase that we've been learning. So can you say it with me again? Rejoice because Jesus has come to save. That's so key. It's not just rejoicing in a kind of a abstract way. Rejoicing because Jesus has come to save. That's why it's such joyful good news. So God has ultimately made his salvation known in Jesus, his King. It's such good news that all of creation sings it. So if you're a Christian today, will you celebrate God's salvation afresh as you begin a new year? Because you've received God's Savior, will you continue to live for him as his Spirit enables you? And if you're not yet a believer today, I pray that you may see the coming of Jesus, his good news, the greatest joy, such joy that even when we face the toughest of circumstances, we can know him as Savior. We need to celebrate God's salvation and receive God's Savior. So I'm just going to give us a couple of moments to reflect on that. And I'm going to pray, and there'll be a chance if anyone would like to give a comment or a question after that. Rejoice because Jesus has come to save. Lord God, thank you that you sent Jesus to save. Thank you that we are called to receive your King and receive your righteousness. Amen. So if anybody has a comment they'd like to make or a question to ask, now is a chance to do that. And Albie's got a microphone to help you do that. At the back, Laurent's got one.
So in the last verse, it says, let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. Just a simple question. How can people rejoice at being judged?
Great question, isn't it? Because we think of that as being a negative thing. We can rejoice in the fact that God is totally fair. So we want justice. We want wrongs to be righted. And God promises to do that. And the amazing news is that although we deserve God's judgment because we rebelled against him, he sent Jesus that we might be forgiven. So we can celebrate the fact that by trusting in Jesus, we will be counted right when God comes to judge. So we want God to judge fairly. We want justice. And also the amazing hope of the gospel is that we can be considered right with God through Jesus. Thanks very much. Any other? No problem. Well, back to Caroline then.